One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Who wants a bunk bed, Belle? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed, Belle.
Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed, Bell.
Current home supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed, Bell, and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can always email me your audio file to send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get those stories into us. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. So it helps other folks find us, allows you to get the episodes as they are released. You don't miss anything. So please do that. Helps us grow in those rankings as well. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing doing lovely.
Good.
I have another child that's fallen ill.
Yeah.
With the strep.
Yeah.
Just as one gets over it, the other one gets it.
And I don't know that she got it from Harper.
Yeah, I don't know. Because it seems like it was kind of like a lag time there that was...
Well,
more than like normal.
I think Livy said some of her close friends at school have had it, so that might be where it came from.
I can imagine.
Yeah, like one of her close friends is home with it right now.
Sure.
Too, so
there you go. So far, so good on us.
Knock on wood. Yeah.
My throat is feeling a little scratchy though.
Really?
But I don't know. It could just be the seasons.
Yeah.
I never know any of this because like anytime like really from. I'd say about September on to March-ish. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's like there's days where it's like I think I'm getting sick. The next day I feel completely fine.
Sure.
It's just like until like I have consistent days of feeling something, I have no idea.
Have you ever had strep?
I don't know if I have or not, quite honestly.
I think you would know.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it's the worst sore throat of your life.
I've had horrible sore throats before.
So,
you know, when I was a kid, it was rare to go to the doctor when you were sick.
Okay.
I mean, it would take, you had to have like a consistent fever for a long time. You know, I don't remember many, you know, I'm home sick from school when I was legitimately sick, where it was, let's go to the doctor. A lot of it was waited out for a couple days and then.
Sure.
Go on. And I had sore throats all the time with my allergies.
Yeah.
Like just consistent for like months. So I know how, I mean, it may have just been kind of lumped in there. I may have had it several times and never known it.
It doesn't go away.
No.
It's bacterial. So it just gets progressively worse. So it's not one that you could have had and it would have just gone away.
There's no way it would ever go away?
It gets worse.
Worse?
It can be bad.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
I don't.
Maybe I have. I really don't know. I don't know if I've had it as an adult either, because I've had things as an adult going, I don't think I've ever had that before.
I've had allergy sore throats.
Yeah.
It's nothing. compared to strep.
No?
So you would know.
Okay.
And
well, there you go.
Hopefully we won't get it because we're grown-ups now.
And we have the magical shield that it propels it away from us.
Less likely for grown-ups to get it.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that. Hopefully. I hope that's... Is that a medical fact or is that a... I've heard this...
It's just more common for kids to get it.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Knock on wood and...
It's not that we can't. It's just more common for them, so...
All right. Well, there you go. Hopefully. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey guys, new listener, first time caller. I just discovered your podcast actually this past Halloween, and I've been listening to it every day since. I love what you're doing. I love that you're providing this platform for people to share their experiences without feeling judged or crazy, and you can definitely depend on me becoming an EPP member the moment I am financially able. To talk about why I'm calling, I have had more paranormal experiences than most, I would say. I don't know if I would say, you know, that I'm especially sensitive or anything, but I definitely do have more stories than other people I've spoken with. The one that I would like to share with you today is very different from the rest of my experiences. It's not the traditional I saw something, I heard something, I felt something, I sensed something story. It's very, very odd, and I do feel the need to preface this with saying that mentally I'm a very healthy person. I've never had any issues. This is very bizarre. So, when I was little, this probably happened when I was 5 years old, six at most, I would go to my parents' bedroom in the middle of the night to sleep because I was afraid of the dark and didn't want to be alone. And I woke up one morning in my parents' bedroom with my dad waking me up for school. And the moment I opened my eyes, I just knew that I couldn't walk. My legs felt very, very weak. I told him this and he laughed at me, and he acted like I was joking and told me to get up. And I said, "No, Dad, I'm serious. I really can't walk." He told me to try. And so I sat on the edge of the bed and slowly lowered myself onto my feet and instantly collapsed. Obviously, I was taken to the hospital. I was told that the reason this happened was due to dehydration and that I hadn't been drinking enough water and consequently weakened my body. And I remember a lot of things about this hospital visit that lasted for a period of 3 to 4 days. I remember relatives coming to visit me. I remember being given gifts. I remember some of those gifts being the paint by the number sets. And that's how I would fight the boredom during my stay. And then when I was beginning to be able to walk, I would walk down to a playroom just a few doors down from my hospital room, play there. And then after that experience, I never really talked about it again, felt no need to, until a couple years ago when, in passing, I brought it up with my mother. And she told me that that had never happened, and that the only time I had ever been admitted to the hospital was for a tonsil surgery, and of course, you're only required to be there for a few hours. I said there was no way this definitely happened, and I didn't doubt myself at all. I chalked it up to her having a bad memory and just forgetting. But I still felt the need to contact my dad for some validation, and I asked him if he remembered this, and he said the same exact thing that my mother did. I had only ever been to the hospital for my tonsils, and that had never happened. He said that it was probably just a dream, but I know it wasn't. I've had no other experiences like this, no other dreams that felt felt so real that I mistook them for reality. And I talked to a group of friends about it one night when we were all passing stories around. And this particular group of friends was, you know, into paganism. And their theory on it was that an entity had come into contact with me and placed its memories in my mind to share them with me for whatever reason, and I was only able to comprehend them in a way by putting details only, you know, personal to myself into the experiences, you know, such as the story beginning in my parents' bedroom, and you know, having relatives that I know visit me. I don't remember the name of the hospital. I don't remember the room number. I don't remember the name of my nurse. And they said that somehow that was indicative of, I don't know, having memories implanted. I have no idea what to make of it. I would love to hear what your thoughts are. Again, thank you so much. And you will definitely be hearing from me again in the future with more traditional paranormal stories. Thanks. Bye.
Parents forget a lot of shit.
hospital stays aren't usually one of them.
No, I agree. I think in this case, it's probably true. It probably never actually happened.
Yeah. I wonder if this is one of those cases where we've talked about somehow spirits or entities have, you know, they almost like download information to you.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's what this was.
I mean, it's interesting because it's so vivid and it lasted several days, and it wasn't just like a fleeting memory of, I think I've been here before. You know, it was a long form occurrence.
Yeah.
You know, which makes it difficult to say, you know, did you have a dream like that? I mean, I've had dreams that seem to have lasted days.
Mm-hmm.
It's few and far between, though, where you ever have that. But you know, I suppose, you know, there's the possibility of that, you know, when you're a child, because time just seems to go a lot slower in general then. But I don't know. I mean, this, I think it's beyond that.
Yeah.
It's weird. I have conversations with my parents all the time now about places that I know for a fact I've been to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you never went there. Like, yeah, I have. I remember, like, and I described the place and I described things about it. And they just forgot they took me there. There's nothing paranormal about it.
Sure.
But I suppose it happens. You know, there's, you know, I notice things, and it always has frustrated me when I bring stuff like that up to my parents, because it's like, how do you not remember these things? But when you're a kid, you remember like damn near everything. Like everything's a big deal.
Sure.
You know, I don't remember half the stuff I did last week now, but I can guarantee either of our kids could probably tell you in detail what they did each day if you give them some sort of trigger to remember it,
mm-hmm.
No matter how insignificant it may have been. It'd be like, oh, and then there was this, you know, orange leaf on the third sidewalk panel, you know, just down to that detail.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to, you know, give them, you know, some, I don't know, credit's not the right word, but, you know, leniency on it, because there's so many things that were completely probably insignificant to them. It was just going out. A lot of them are like restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was just going out to another restaurant that they've already been to for the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I'd only been going there for like 2 years of my life. And it seemed pretty damn amazing.
Sure.
To me, but to them, it's another night out and the kids there. And I can imagine that I'm going to have moments like this with our children too, where they're like, remember when we went there? No, I've had moments like that where they say something. I'm like, oh.
Oh, my question to her is, when did she first remembering this?
Because yeah.
if this was given to her, this memory was given to her when she was little.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised that the parents don't at least recall her talking about it.
Sure.
You know, because little kids talk about everything.
Over and over.
Over and over. Yeah. And they're, I don't know that as a small child, you know, I think she said like 6 or 7, that wouldn't have at least come up in conversation sometime before.
Exactly. Like, remember, it was just like that at the hospital, or just some reference to something.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my question on when she started to remember having this memory, mm-hmm. as to more so when did this get to her.
That's because, a good question.
Because I would imagine the parents would at least remember that. Maybe this was later that this memory was put in, and, mm-hmm. and she swears that it happened when she was little.
And then it's one of those things where if it was put in later, you know, that whole period of the child referencing it is gone and didn't happen. But it just seems like just this old thing that happened a long time ago, and just bring it up because it happened. And, you know, nothing odd about it, but you haven't talked about it for a while. And it's brought up, and wait a second.
Because I don't doubt that this happened to her. Sure. I'm just trying to figure out, more so, I guess, when in her lifetime.
Yeah. That's a good question to ask about that, is when was the first time you recall having this memory? Mm-hmm. Let us know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I just tried calling before, but it cut me off. My name's Ailish, and I'm from South Australia. I'm just calling in with my haunted house experience. I've sort of jumbled them together because it's a big experience, and I've written it down, so if it sounds like I'm reading, it's because I am, because I didn't want to miss anything, and I wanted to make it coherent. I'll just get into it. So in 2004, my family and I moved to a recently built house in the neighbourhood across from ours. It was situated inside a cluster of hills, so it was sort of right in between four hills. The hills are rumoured to have been home to convict settlers as Australia was being settled. The house was owned by friends, and we rented from them with the plan to eventually buy the property when it was financially viable. I was the youngest of 14, so three girls and one boy, and I received the smallest bedroom in the back of the house on the second floor. Not long after moving in, we started to experience odd smells like cigar smoke and rotting meat. The smells would just vanish just as they came, almost like the flicking on of a light. We pulled apart the furniture and had a pest control guy come and check the house. He checked in between the floors of each, like it was a two-story house, so he checked the floor space in between each floor, the roof, and under the house, and he couldn't find anything. He couldn't explain the source of the smells, and my parents were very confused. They pulled apart the couches and searched through them to see if rats or anything had died, but they couldn't find anything. At first, it was little things we would notice, like books or toys being moved. Then things started to vanish completely or turn up outside the house or near the front door. Obviously, my parents attributed this to the four teens in the house trying to scare each other. This continued for the next few months with strange breaks of 5 to 7 days between incidents. My parents, who were both working from home at the time, started to hear people making noise upstairs when nobody was home. They'd hear talking or laughing, coughing, running, and doors slamming upstairs in the bedrooms while we were at school. And they'd go upstairs to inspect, and they would find that all the doors were open and the rooms were silent. So they'd shut all the doors and would go downstairs only to return upstairs to find them all open. This would often happen during the night when everyone was in bed. The doors would open and shut. I attributed this to the wind blowing through the house, even though no windows or doors were open. I was very optimistic at the fact that I really hoped the house wasn't haunted. At about the 6-month mark, after we had moved into the house, we started to see unexplainable lights and dark masses, and our dogs at the time wouldn't leave the downstairs living area. You would have to physically pick them up and carry them through the kitchen to reach the backyard because they were terrified of the garage area, which had the door to the backyard. During the time we lived there, I experienced twice a full body apparition of a man in a suit, although I could never see his face. I saw him after getting up for water during the night, and I would return to my room and he would just be standing there. I originally didn't think much of it, but the second time I really consciously blinked and looked back at him, trying to make him go away. I thought I was dreaming, and he was still standing there, and I screamed, and ran into my stepsister's room and I'd sleep underneath her single bed because I didn't feel safe. Apart from this experience, for me, it was mainly my parents who witnessed the most things. My mum in particular was quite sick at the time and continued to see various shadow people and in particular shadow children. She's been sick quite a lot throughout her life, and I wonder if because of this it's made her more sensitive. She often gets a feeling when we go places or we'll just know that somebody's around spiritually. And I wonder if that has something to do with being quite ill throughout her life. I'm not sure. Maybe you guys might have some ideas about that. My stepdad never believed my mum when she'd see things, and even though he'd experienced the sounds and smells, he'd never actually seen anything. So he continued to discount our experiences as tricks of the light or tired eyes or, you know, getting nervous and seeing things. Until one night he went outside around 10 o'clock for a cigarette. And when he thought he saw our neighbour, who was also a smoker, he went up to say hello to her. He was striding up the driveway towards their front porch and yelled out her name. Then he realised that the person he was walking up to had no visible arms or legs. And he stopped walking because the entity turned to face him and he realized he had no idea who this woman was and bolted up our driveway to the house. He was shaking ridiculously. I didn't actually see this, but this is from the information from my mum. He ran up the stairs into their bedroom and according to him, what he saw was the woman's face was almost blurry, like it was hidden behind a cloth, but was haggard and had huge, sunken, dark eyes. As soon as they locked eyes, his stomach just dropped, and that's when he bolted. We moved out 6 months later, losing the bond on our house and everything because the stuff was just too negative. During this time, we hadn't really been talking about our experiences because we all thought that we were seeing, all thought that what we were seeing was crazy. I have no idea why this happened to our family. Maybe it's contributed to the teenage energy that all the girls were giving off. It didn't follow us, thank God, and we haven't had any experiences like that since. We asked our family friends who owned the property if they had seen anything, and they couldn't believe what we were saying. They said they'd lived in the house for 5 years prior and had no experiences. But they didn't have any children, so we wonder if the kids were sort of the key to the lock, like the energy that the kids were giving off, that angsty teenage energy or, you know, just crazy energy that children give off. We wonder if that was feeding the spirits. We did find out that our neighbours were also experiencing strange things. They had babies and they'd hear babies crying in the night and get up and the babies were solidly asleep. Or their tooth, or their electric toothbrushes would turn on in the bathrooms, or the showers would turn on. It was crazy. We started thinking maybe it was the land, but we're really not sure. So if you guys have any idea, that would be great. Reading it out loud actually makes it sound ridiculous, but I swear it's true. I have more stories, mainly from my mum. I have one more personal ghost story in my grandparents' house and a couple from a theatre that my father worked at. But, yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know and thank you so much for providing such a nice, safe place for people to tell their stories. And I hope you had a happy Halloween and I hope your girls are well. I've just recently started listening to Junking Jenny and it's fantastic, and the Dream podcast, and it's absolutely great. Your podcasts have got me through university and I can't thank you enough. I'm studying visual arts and so there's a lot of time where I'm just by myself working, and yeah, I just love listening to you guys. You're like family. Thank you so much, and I'll call it in again soon. I hope to hear my story on one of the podcasts, and I'm looking forward to becoming an EVP this Christmas. as I'm a student and I'm poor, so I haven't had a chance to do it yet. All right. Have a great day. Bye.
I don't think it sounds crazy at all. And in fact, I think she was really touching on something that may have had an impact on why it affected their family and not the previous family. And it was the fact that there was four teenagers, and I believe she said three of which were girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that energy, like she was talking about, that does seem to stir things up. And that the mother had been sickly, you know, maybe at some point her veil got thinned just from being sickly for most of her life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a lot to go on with that. If the activity wasn't affecting the neighbors and it was just affecting them, I'd say, you know, it had something to do with that combination. But I'm wondering if it is something with the land, since it seems more than just their isolated house.
I'm going more with the land on this one. We do hear a lot about, you know, the teenage, the energy and all that. But a lot of times it seems to be almost like poltergeist-ish and kind of tame. Stuff happening, but not necessarily like so dark that you don't want to return to your home and get your stuff.
No, but what I'm saying is maybe it stirred it up.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. I get you.
Okay.
I get you. Yeah, I mean, maybe that did, you know, stir it up or attract it. It's just one of those things where, I lean a lot more towards there's something with that plot of land.
Mm-hmm.
Probably before there was, you know, boundary markers between the neighbor's house and their house. And it's, you know, just something dark. And thank God it didn't follow them.
Yeah.
Because that could have, you know, been a lifetime of paranormal excitement. But I'd be very curious to hear if the people who are there today have anything going on.
Right.
I don't know how you find that out.
You don't, because why chance it?
They should just be like a totally, well, you can't really do it anonymously. I was going to say if you had like an anonymous... I think there is like a haunted property website out there, but you can't really do it anonymously. You can pretty much narrow down who lived in a house at X point to another. It's not like it's like a new owner every day where you can get kind of lost in the shuffle. But it'd be very difficult to, you know, share that information
mm-hmm.
without being tracked down one way or another, because that's not necessarily something anybody else really wants out there either of their home.
Unless they are...
cool, you know, with it,
marketing it for that purpose.
Yeah.
You know, is come stay here, it's very haunted.
Yeah, you don't want, like, especially if the incidents have calmed down and maybe your house isn't haunted anymore and there's nothing going on, but then suddenly the owner from 20 years ago goes online and posts this, you know, thing that makes it sound like Amityville.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody's like, I read about this house online. It's like, what are you talking about, really? And then you track down who it was. You can't be saying that would end up being not yeah. so good.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
But anyway, thank you for the story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Do appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Sierra from Yuma, Arizona. I had called a while back about my grandfather and my grandmother's passing, and I think that episode was called Grandfather Returns. You guys had left off with a question for me as far as if my family has dreams when our family members pass away, and we do. My mom's side of the family is very sensitive, and my mom has continuously had dreams of my grandfather and now my grandmother, but never together. It's either or. I have not dreamed of my grandmother since, or my grandfather since my grandmother has passed away, but I kind of see it as they're in a better place now and they're happy. I did want to give a quick update on what has been happening in my home since my grandmother has passed away. I was given the responsibility of taking care of her home and her belongings. So I'm now raising my two children in this home along with my husband. And from time to time, I pay attention to what goes on now. Ever since I've had my dream about my grandmother. And I notice when I'm on the phone with my mom or my dad or both of them, and we're kind of talking about the ongoings of what happened with our week or our day or what happened the past 5 minutes, or if we're talking about a family member, such as my brother or other things that are going on, while I'm sitting in the living room, I tend to hear dishes clinking. Now, when this first started happening, I thought maybe it might have been, I don't know, a roach or something, but we don't have any bugs in the house. My husband wouldn't be home when that would happen, and I noticed when particularly I would talk about my brother, the dishes would clink. Now, since I've been listening to your show, I might think that this might be a residual haunting. My grandmother did spend a lot of her time in the kitchen, cooking and cleaning and taking care of her family. That's mostly what she did. That was her generation. That's what the women did in the home. So I'm not sure if it's a coincidence or if she's putting in her two cents as to what's going on in the situation. But other than that, nothing else really goes on in the home except for dishes clinking and clanking. And I don't know, every so often I'll get a different kind of vibe when I'm sitting in a room by myself. Other than that, I did want to just give you guys an update. Thank you for all that you do, and I really liked your guys' opinion. And if you have an opinion on my current situation, please let me know.
Okay, I get that it could be residual from the grandmother, but the way it seems to start up when the brother is mentioned, mm-hmm. that almost indicates there's some kind of intelligence there.
Like it's trying to get some message across or
yeah,
something of that sort?
I guess so. I mean, it's just interesting that whenever he's brought up, the dishes start clinking.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why that would be. I mean, if it's a family member, maybe there is some sort of message. Is it a warning? That's the thing. You don't know.
You don't know. Or maybe it is a family member just saying, you brought up family. Family mm-hmm. here. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, it could be just something as simple as that. And everybody's like, oh my God, is it an omen? It's like, no, it's just, it's me. I'm just, yeah.
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 I don't know.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your story.
Hi, my name is Joshua Fisher from St. Helens, Oregon. I'm actually listening to all your episodes in reverse order, and I discovered you guys about a year ago. I've heard a couple episodes now where you guys have mentioned white feathers appearing around some of the other listeners, and there's no down pillows or any feathered blankets or anything like that around. Yeah, shortly after my grandmother died, when I was 16, I'm 36 now, yeah, getting old. But, shortly after my grandmother died, all of my father and his sister and brother, all of her children, claimed this phenomenon was happening for years after, even up to a decade after. I haven't talked to them, a couple of them in a few years, so it might still be happening. But I know that, shortly after my grandmother died, they would find little white, little tiny feathers just in the most random, bizarre locations where they just shouldn't be. In fact, I actually, my dad pointed one out to me once when I was hanging out with him. And, and I was like, oh, wow, that, you know, I've been hearing about these for quite a while. And so, I actually, like, tried to find the source of the feather. And, yeah, it was pretty bizarre. So, yeah, I just wanted to confirm that is a thing. I have many stories I've been wanting to share with you guys. I was just, I don't know, just been nervous or hesitant or something, but I'll definitely call back. I died when I was a baby for a few minutes, so I was told. I was severely premature in the 80s, and I think I was like under 3 pounds, and I briefly died as a baby, and I've just I've had a lot of experiences throughout my life. You know, I'm a really kind person. I have lots of empathy towards people. I've cried over stories of other people's family members dying just because I feel so strong. Like, I can just pick up on people's emotions and just, yeah, I'm very empathic, I believe. You know, I know everybody wants to think they're special, so I'm always hesitant to label myself with, you know, some ability. But, man, I have to admit it and just call it how I see it. And I've always been super emotional, always been able to read people very easily and just, I don't know, I just feel emotions so strongly that it's almost like I visually see them. Yeah, anyway. All right, guys, take care. I'm a big fan. You guys rock. You're the best. Become an EPP. Love you guys.
I think he checkmarked every box on the you might be an empath list.
Yeah.
So I would say that's fair to say he's an empath.
Mm-hmm.
And not worry about, you know, being misleading or anything like that.
And I think, you know, the reason for it probably has a lot to do with what happened when he was born.
Yeah.
You know, and that seems to be the thinning of the veil. It happens to people later in life in like a near-death experience. But if you have your near-death experience right out of the womb, that can also thin it right there too. And then you get the joy of it being normal, mm-hmm. essentially for you, without, you know, really knowing anything else. And I can see that being kind of like, am I special or is this different? Doesn't everybody do this? Doesn't everybody have that?
Exactly.
If there's no context for it, you know, with you. So, but you're not alone. Obviously you're listening to the show. You've probably heard, several stories from other folks who, had a very similar type experience and very similar type, realizations. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us here on the program. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, keep us on the air, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com. And there you go. It's a chance to support the show and keep it on the air. Several different options for you on how to do just that. Starts at $5 a month. Get access to all of those bonus episodes that we put out every single week at ghostpodcast.com. So check it out. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabe Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.